Okay, good morning, everybody. Continue now with the 48 steps to Kinyan Torah, the 48 qualities that a person should have if he wants to be successful in learning. So we're up to number four on the list, and that's called Binas Halev. Binas Halev. That's how most editions have it. Binas Halev. I think some have Kavonas Halev, but we'll figure Binas Halev. I mentioned, I think, in the past that whereas in secular literature, the heart is usually understood to be the seat of emotion and so on, and the lave, we discussed lave tov and so on. But the fact is that in our system, the lave is also a place of understanding. We say in the davening, v'sein b'li beinu lahavin laskil, and so on and so forth. So lave, binas halev, means understanding in the heart, okay? And what this might mean is the idea of bina, to understand one thing from another, to ask questions, to think. Okay, maven dover mitov dover, that's bina. With the difference between chokhmah, bina, das, bina is maven dover mitov dover. You can deduce one thing from another. And it's important that what's in the heart counts. And that leads to your understanding. It's the brain, it's the mental capacity that retains and that gives you understanding. But in terms of the heart, I think it's the deeper understanding that internalizes things for you. Some understand that it means intuition, right? Sometimes people have intuition, okay? And when you understand things, so you have a certain intuition that leads you in a certain direction. Big poskim, sometimes, you know, can't really bring a raya to a particular psak, but they have an intuition, right? They're based on all their learning and all their knowledge and all their experience and so on. They can sometimes, and sometimes will, paskin a shaila based on intuition, right? And we would trust that person's intuition because it brings everything else to bear, so to speak. It's not just tamam, it's guesswork. At certain times, people who, because of their experience, because of their general knowledge, have intuition in a case where they can't bring a particular raya. Okay, we sometimes have the expression libi omerli. Sometimes you see that in writings I'm not sure Rishonim, Sotan Achronim. Libi omerli, right? My heart tells me. I have an intuition, you know, I think this is the pshat. I can't bring a bona fide raya and so on to it, but being libi omerli, right? My heart understands it, being as halev. Like I said, that's what we say in the davening, the same Billy Beno, Lahavin, and so on. It's not just the mind or the brain, okay, but it's something you have an understanding or feeling that makes certain things into an intuition, and that leads you, you know, to a certain direction. The truth is that in the Torah, it says that kikar velecha davar ma'od b'ficha ovel vavcha lasoso. Okay, and you know, lava kadosh baruch hu b'chol levavcha, and so on. And we have expressions like rachmana liba boy. Okay, these are things which are not just emotions. Okay, but it's a certain feeling that a person has inside. Okay, and you have to see not just with your mind, not just with your brain. Okay, you have to that too, but also you have to sort of intuit something. You have to make it so much of a part of you that it becomes, you know, possible to come to conclusions and so on, based on that intuition that comes from a deeper level of understanding. I'm struggling to make it clear, I think, but I think the idea of Binas Halev, that's what it's talking about. Now, it's interesting because the next one listed is the Sichlus Halev, Sichlus Halev. And there's some, but I should have said this earlier. There was some question how to count some of the, how to get the number 48 exactly. So some actually lumped these two together, Binas Halev and Sichlus Halev. So that's really one thing. But it doesn't matter really. We'll look at it as a separate one. And that is that Sichlus Halev also is, it goes beyond, an intuition. Okay, But a sichlus perhaps means the ability to discern, a capability to discern, okay, to see things, again, in a penetrating way, and understand when you can compare this to that, when you can't compare this to that, okay? The sichlus here, okay, is someone who looks into things. The seichel is, you use seichel. Also, I think included in seichel is what we call common sense. All right. Sometimes a person who studies and a person who's educated and is academically inclined and so on is sort of in what we call in English today an ivory tower. You know, a person feels higher up and so on, and really is not able to connect to what's going on in this world, and sometimes even lacks common sense. Right? Common sense means, and I don't mean in the sense of street smarts, so just in terms of interacting with people and so on, there has to be a certain seichel as well when it comes to Torah. Certain things, you know, again, you intuit it goes together with Binas Halev, but you recognize there's a certain way to behave, a certain way not to behave. I can't necessarily bring you proof, but seichel, it's something called seichel ayosher, that a person has, you know, common sense in recognizing this can't be what the Torah demands, so to speak. It can't be that this is what, you know, that where the halakha is going to lead us, and this can be and this can't be, this shouldn't be, this should be, etc. And I think that, idea is that, you know, we have a statement in Pirkei Avos. We asked Esau Chacham. We gave the answer Haroas. Sorry, Loman. We call Adam, but the elsewhere Chazal say Esau Chacham Haroas Hanolad, Haroas Hanolad. You can see what's going to result. All right. Sometimes a person may learn and know a lot and come to a conclusion, but because of a lack of common sense, he doesn't realize where this conclusion is going to lead. And therefore, Chazal tell us, Ezeu Chacham Haroas Hanolad. You can foresee the future, not that you're a fortune teller, but you can see where this is going to lead. You see what's going to happen as a result. And sometimes things look black and white. I better do it like this right now. That's where all the logic points. However, if you look at the bigger picture and you see, you know, where it's going to lead, then you realize you may have to react differently. And so that's perhaps an idea, of Sichlus Halev. The next one, and again, some put these two together, Ema and Yira, they don't necessarily count as two different things, okay? Ema, they both mean fear, awe, reverence, and so on. Ema, okay, again, reverence or, again, we understand already, we've spoken many times, it's not just another subject. But Ema means that when a person has a certain fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, okay, and therefore when you're learning, you're concentrating on what you're doing and you don't interrupt and you're precise in things we mentioned before, okay? So there's a sense of Ema to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and there's also an Ema to Rebbe or to the person who's teaching you. You don't waste time, you don't goof around, okay? The difference in Ema and Yira, and the difference in Ema and Yira, is that perhaps one, okay, again, they can be interchangeable. It's true they can be to some extent interchangeable, but one can suggest that Ema actually refers to a behavior in the presence of your Rebbe. Now, you're always in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but when the presence of a person is Rebbe, so, you should have a certain sense of Ema, in front of a Rebbe, in front of a teacher. That's, and truth of the matter is, you should be, more rabcha k'mor shamayim, again, Chazal say, okay, but it's a person should be be'ema over yira when in the presence of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, always in the presence of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, but especially when we're davening and when we're involved in Torah pursuits and so on. So that's the notion of ema. And yira perhaps refers to when a person behaves, even when his Rebbe is not present, so to speak. Okay? So one can make that type of a chiluk. Again, as I say, some lump this together. Yira, on the other hand, really has a couple of different aspects to it. Okay? One type of yira is simply yira sa'onish. When we're talking about yira shamayim, it says yira sa'onish. Now, yira, fearing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, means on one side, I'm afraid of being punished, right? And we realize that there's such a concept called Tzchar V'Onesh. We discussed in the past that it's not really, I don't like the word reward, but rather consequence and so on. So we know that a consequence of bad behavior is a punishment, Kodesh Baruch Hu. So I'm afraid of punishment, okay? And that's one type of Yira. But there's also Yiras we call Yiras Haromimus, okay? Where it's not afraid of a punishment. I have Yirav HaKadosh Baruch Hu, never mind the punishment. I wouldn't want to do this in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I wouldn't want to behave this way in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And, you know, one can ask, this is a nice midah in general, but I thought we're talking about things that lead to Kinyan Torah. You know, where is Eimon Yira? How does that play in terms of bringing a person success in learning? I mean, yes, in general, we should have Yira Shamayim. We understand that, okay? And the two different types of Yira. Yira Zonas, Yira Zoromas. Good. What's it got to do? Well, the answer is the Pasuk actually says, Reishis Chochma Yira Hashem. Okay, the beginning of wisdom is Yiras Hashem. That's what it says in Mishlei. Reishis Chochma Yiras Hashem. And others are similar psukim. And Chazal tells him, Ein Yira, Ein Torah. Because again, the Torah is not just an intellectual pursuit. And therefore, if you approach it with the wrong attitude, and you approach it with simply as an intellectual pursuit, and it's got nothing to do with my relation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then you're not going to achieve success. Therefore, Ein and Yira are certainly parts of you know, steps towards Kinyan Torah. And we recognize, that if we learn properly, so again, you know, Eimon and Yira come together. We are connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that leads us to the Chochmah, leads us to the wisdom. So again, one might have asked, what this guy has to do? It's an important midah, it's an important din, a mitzvah, Yira Shamayim. What's it got to do with learning? No, Reish Chochmah Yiras Hashem. Because why don't we have that true wisdom? So you have to have the right approach to the Torah that you're learning. Now, The other point, I think, is that a person who's in learning, you're afraid of something else. There's a sense of Yira, and again, where they put Aim and Yira together. And that is that I don't want to make a mistake. I think this is especially important for Smicha students and for Rabbanim. You know, you have to understand your responsibility. And a person should never, you know, rush to Paskin. Okay, a person should always, you know, take it with a sense of Yira. Even when you know it, even you have the knowledge, you think it through, make sure that it's applicable in this case. There has to be a certain sense of Yira that you're afraid. And certainly in areas where there are major discussions you're not familiar with, so then you dare not offer a psak. You know, I mean, you're talking about, like, you know, I would never think about passing a shiloh when someone's on a respirator and so on without talking to, you know, other people, other rabbanim and so on, and rebbeim. These are, so you have to know that also. There has to be a certain fear that has to accompany your wisdom. Sometimes people think they know everything, and you know, and it ranges. I just had a conversation yesterday with somebody, Malabos, a fine person. I don't really know him. I'm not saying anything bad. He was asking about something about an Erev, and I happen to be one of the people in charge of the Erev in my community. So he said, well, what's the big deal? You just hang up a wire. Yeah, okay. If you don't understand about Erev and how it works, you can think, like, why is it a big deal? You just put a wire over here, you know. It doesn't work like that, you know. And somebody who thinks he knows everything there is to know, and therefore will, and I'm not saying bad about this person. I'm just giving it as an example. That, you know, that he doesn't understand the depth of it. Just like I don't understand things in medicine or in other areas. You know, so what's the big deal? Just take this pill, you feel good. You know, it doesn't work like that, right? There are all kinds of complications. A person should not be overconfident in his learning. You should not be afraid to paskin in the sense of, well, I can never answer anything. You know, that people like that also take it to an extreme. And so they ask them, and it's a question, they're always afraid to give an answer. You shouldn't be afraid when you do know, especially, you know, Shilas that you should know, you shouldn't be afraid to give an answer. You have to have a certain self-confidence that you've learned, but it should be with a sense of Ema and Yira. Okay, so I think that's, you know, and I mentioned before, earlier in Pirkei Avos, it said Mora Rabcha Kamora Shamayim, again, interchanging the Mora. And finally, just on this point, we discussed this also. Koshi, back in Perak, I think it was Perak Gimel, Koshi Yiras Cheto Kodam is Chachma, so Chachma is Miskayamis. Again, creating a link between Yira and Chachma, right? If a person is Yirei Chet, and that's first, then his Chachma will survive, will last. And it all goes back to the same point. The Torah and Kinyan Torah is not just about acquiring knowledge and having a certain amount of information at your fingertips. That's part of it, but it has to be in a bigger context. A person who wants to master Torah, and that's why this is part of Kinyan Torah, is the Yiras Chet has to come first. And again, that's, you know, the idea of learning some form of Musar or some form of, again, you know, how much time you spend on it, the question. But a person, character refinement, we'll see that that's part of the the theme of some of these points, okay, as we'll go weiter. But character refinement, that's, yes, it's part of chachma, it's part of wisdom. And as I think I've mentioned in the past, you know, when I want to get information about mathematics, or want to get information about science or any other English, so all I'm interested really is the information. So what the personal behavior of the professor, of the expert is, none of my business. You know, I mean, if I'm interested in understanding something in mathematics, I'll speak to an expert mathematician. Hopefully, he can explain it to me in a way that I can understand. Now, the person may be of poor moral character. The person may be someone I wouldn't look up to him. But I'm not looking to him for moral direction. I'm looking for him to understand this particular mathematical equation or that particular business formula or this particular medical thing. Okay, and you know, if the person's an expert and he's the best surgeon, but he's also a philanderer, that's got nothing to do with me, right? I'm interested in having the best surgeon take care of me, and I don't really care about necessarily about his personal qualities. That's not the case in Torah. And that's the point, okay? The Yira and Ema and Yira are considered parts of, are considered parts of the steps of Kinyan Torah, because that's what ultimately will enable the Chochmah to last and to survive in the way that it's supposed to. I'll just conclude with, something which I saw quoted by Rabbi Wein. There's a famous professor at Harvard, a classics professor named Professor Harry Ostrom Wolfson, Harry A. Wolfson. And he was a former Talmud of the Slobodka Yeshiva. And actually, there's some interesting stuff about him in books and so on, because he interacted when he was in Slobodka with some of the Gedolei Torah. And he was a brilliant, brilliant person. And someone once asked him, supposedly, why the Jewish people are known as the people of the book. After all, other cultures and other religions and so on also study. They have books and literature and tomes of their laws and so on and so forth, and they also study. So Professor Wolfson supposedly said, I don't know of any other religion or any other people that one of their books falls to the floor, and you pick it up, you give it a kiss. Right? I mean, you can be very, very interested in mathematics, very interested in science, or very interested in medicine. If you drop your textbook in medicine, you ever see someone pick it up and give it a kiss? The person may be devoted greatly to his profession and to the and interested, but there's a different relation. But chumash falls to the floor from the time you're a kid. You pick it up and you give it a kiss. Okay, what's the idea? Okay, that's reverence. That's Eman Yira. That shows that this is something more than just an intellectual pursuit, and that's why this is part of Kinyan Torah. Okay, we'll stop over here. I hope everyone received the Bechina.